أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ولهم عذاب أليم. إنما يفتري الكذب الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله وأولئك هم الكاذبون. من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان، ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة، وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. أولئك الذين طبع الله على قلوبهم وسمعهم وأبصارهم، وأولئك هم الغافلون. لا جرم أنهم في الآخرة هم الخاسرون. Shall we starting from ayah number 104? We are doing the tafsir of Surah An-Nahl. We're going to continue with that. Today's subject is going to be the issue of iman. Iman and disbelief and kufr. And also one of the issues that will be discussed today is the issue of forcefully making a person disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting a gun to his head or a knife to his throat and telling him you have to denounce Islam. What is the ruling on that? So that inshallah will be discussed today also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَا يَهْدِيهِمُ اللَّهُ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Indeed, those people that do not have iman in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَهْدِيهِمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide them, and for them is a painful punishment. This is carrying on with the theme from last week, in which there were objections against the Prophet ﷺ about the Quran, where he got it from, did he copy it from somebody, and different objections that came up. And the conclusion of that is that if you do not believe that these verses are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not guiding you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not giving you the truth. So this is why this verse is starting off with, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people that do not have iman in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ayat can also mean miracles, but here, in the context of what has been read before, it is referring to the ayat, the verses of the Qur'an. Allah says, لَا يَهْدِيهِمُ اللَّهِ. Allah does not guide them. So this doesn't make sense, that on the one hand, Allah says, those people that don't have iman in Allah. So obviously they're not guided. They're not guided. So then why does Allah then afterwards say, Allah does not guide them? So we have to understand that there are actually two levels of hidayah, or there are two types of hidayah. The word hidayah is used for two things. One is known as, in Arabic, is ira'atu tariq, which means to show the way. To show the way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown them the way. Allah has shown them what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. But the second meaning is what is meant here. That what is called is isal ila al-matloob, meaning that what is matloob, the guidance that is matloob, the people do not reach that. Meaning, to actually get guidance, to attain guidance, to achieve guidance, that is also known as hidayah. So one hidayah is Allah guiding somebody, showing him the way, and the second step of that guidance is actually achieving that guidance. So, la yahdihimullah means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let them achieve the guidance because they don't want the guidance. They don't want the guidance in the first place, so therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them, specifically for them, there is a very painful punishment. The next verse, إِنَّمَا يَفْتَرِي الْكَذِبَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. What is the consequence of a person who does not believe in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another consequence is that he will make false accusations, false assumptions, false claims about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the next verse says. إِنَّمَا يَفْتَرِي الْكَذِبَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people that do not have iman in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make false accusations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will find many misguided groups, people that want to, you know, follow their own whims and desires and call it Islam, but in reality they don't really want to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They are basically making accusations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that actually indirectly it means that they don't have iman in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place. They don't have iman, therefore they make these false accusations and false assumptions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. And these people are liars. So the word liars has been used here, and it really should be kafirun, disbelievers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the gravity of the sin of lying, that He is actually equating it with kufr. He is equating it with disbelief. So those people that don't have iman in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are disbelievers, right? Those people that make false accusations against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are disbelievers. They are, the word kafir should be used. But instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word liar to show that lying is such a huge and such a grave sin. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that, does a believer steal? So, أَيَسْرِقُ مُؤْمِنُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited a verse in the Quran, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْطَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. The man or the woman who steal, cut their hands. So it means that a person who believes can, in a lapse of judgment, or by making a mistake, or by slipping up, and by forgetting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can steal. So he will steal. And then after that, the person asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ayazni mu'min? Can a believer actually commit zina? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, quoting a verse from the Quran, Az-zani wa zaniyatu fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda. That the zani man and the zani woman, meaning adulterous or fornicating man and woman, give them the prescribed punishment. So he said, yes. This shows that a believing man, when he slips up, believing woman, when she slips up and forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can also fall into this trap of the shaitan and commit adultery and fornication. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, does a believer actually lie? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, no. A believer, one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. So this verse, it shows us the gravity of the sin of lying, so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equated liars with disbelievers. So this is again something to point out. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to the issue of kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, and being forced into disbelief. Allah says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imani." The person who does kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after having iman in him. So a person becomes a believer and then he becomes a disbeliever. And then the response to this is mentioned later on, but prior to that response being mentioned, an exception is made. Okay? إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And so I'll come back to that in a minute. But what does this ayah actually, how is this ayah actually completed? مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ فَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, which is right at the end. وَلَهُمْ فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Upon them is an anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and specifically for them, there is a huge punishment. Okay? So this is for those people that disbelieve and they are firm in their disbelief. They have conviction in their disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them this punishment. But in the middle of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception. That exception is, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for that person who was forced and his heart was at ease with Iman. So Islam is not a religion of difficulty. Islam is not a religion that makes a person face adversity and difficulty and hardship and torture and being killed. So what this ayah is telling us, that if a person is forcing you, and in this day and age it can be very easy, especially with the negative propaganda against Islam and Muslims, for somebody to put a gun to your head and say, denounce Islam, otherwise I'm going to shoot you. So what do you do in that particular instant? So the ruling is that a person is allowed to actually denounce Islam at that particular time while his heart is at ease that he is still a believer. So there's nothing wrong with that, to save one's life to do that. So there is actually the story of Ammar ibn Yasir. First of all, remember what happened to Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife, okay, Sumayya. These were the first martyrs of Islam, killed by Abu Jahl in a very brutal fashion. So Ammar ibn Yasir was the son of this same Yasir. And the story goes that somebody told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that Ammar ibn Yasir, he actually denounced Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, it cannot be. He said that Ammar ibn Yasir, Iman is within him, he is full of Iman, right from the top of his head, right to the bottom of his feet. He is so full of Iman. So if somebody tells me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, that he denounced Islam, I will not believe him. So ultimately, Ammar ibn Yasir came, crying to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and told him the story of how somebody had forced him to say words of disbelief against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of that, he was extremely upset and sorry and didn't know what was going to happen to him. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that, how did your heart feel? Was your heart full of Iman when you said those words? He said, yes, my heart was still full of Iman. I didn't mean those words. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, then there's nothing to worry about. In aadu fa'ud. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if these people come back to you and they make you do the same thing again, then do it again. The Prophet commanded him to actually denounce Islam verbally if they come back to him again and force him to do so. Now some Sahaba were standing by and they said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, so many of our companions, they've been tortured in the past, like Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's been tortured, and many have been killed while they have been told to denounce Islam, and you are telling Ammar ibn Yasir this. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, again, this shows the deep jawamiul kalim that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had, that one sentence and one instruction, it had so much meaning in it. That he said that when Ammar ibn Yasir, he did what he did, he took the rukhsa, he took the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And as for Bilal, when he was being tortured, sada'a bilhaq, he proclaimed the truth and he remained steadfast on the truth, and he did the best thing, obviously, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by not denouncing Islam. But Ammar ibn Yasir did something that was permissible and there's no problem with it. Okay, so this shows from this hadith, it is permissible for a person to save his life to denounce Islam. And there's another story also of Musaylima al-Kadhab. Musaylima was a person in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam who claimed to be a prophet of Allah. And he used to tell the believers, he used to gather them and ask them, do you believe in me as a prophet or not? So first of all, again, there's a similar story about, like to Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the believers. He was asked by Musaylima al-Kadhab that, do you believe in Prophet Muhammad as a prophet? He said, yes, I do. And what about me? He said, you also. But he didn't verbally say that you also are a prophet. He kind of twisted his words just to kind of save himself. Another person, Musaylimah, asked, he said to him that, do you believe in me as a prophet? He said, no, I don't believe in you as a prophet. So he killed him. So the story, the news got to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said both of these people were on the right path. The person who kind of twisted his words to save himself, that was permissible, and as for the person who remained steadfast, he was proclaiming the truth. So this is actually the ruling related to being forced into disbelief. The Prophet ﷺ also, he mentioned in a hadith, رُفِعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأُ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. My ummah has been absolved and forgiven from khata wa nisyan. Khata meaning mistake, forgetfulness, and things that they are forced into doing. So this is a clear hadith also. So going back to the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imani." The person who has disbelief after his iman, except for the person who was forced while his heart was at ease with iman, walakin man sharaha bil kufri sadran, but for the person whose heart became open to disbelief and accepted disbelief, what it means is, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and specifically upon them is an anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for them is a huge punishment. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ مُسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That is because they gave preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't guide the disbelieving people. So the word used here is istahabbul, istahabbu ad-dunya, istahabbul hayat ad-dunya. They gave priority to. So what you can understand from this, what's known as mafhum mukhalif, that the worldly life is something that we are living in. Okay, we are living in a world, we need to provide for our families, we need to provide for our children, we need to put a roof over our heads, we need to pay the bills, and this is a responsibility that we have, and we have to fulfill that. But that responsibility should not overshadow our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. So istahabbu means those people that gave priority to the worldly life instead of priority to the hereafter. And I often give this example of a person, for example, who is studying at a university. Okay, so you ask him the question that, what are you doing at the university? He says, my purpose of coming to the university is studying, getting my master's, bachelor's, getting my PhD, whatever it is. So you ask him the question that, during the course of your study, do you go to sleep? He will say, of course I go to sleep. Do you eat? Yes, I go to, I eat. Do you relax sometimes? Do you have recreational time? Yes, I do. But I do all of those things. I sleep, I eat, and I have recreational times, keeping in mind that I should not fulfill my main objective, which is studying. And this is basically what the worldly life is about. Our main objective is the hereafter. Do we work? Do we provide for our family? Do we pay the bills? Do we have intimacy with our families? And do we play with our children? Yes, we do. We do all of those things, but not forgetting the main purpose of our existence, which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and working towards the hereafter. So here Allah is describing those people that gave priority to the worldly life. They are the ones, they are in the wrong. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The abode of the hereafter, that is the true life. And in another verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O people of Iman, respond to Allah and His Prophet when He calls you to that thing that will keep you alive, that will give you life. What will give you life? Basically, it refers to the life of the hereafter, which is everlasting and permanent. Whereas this worldly life, how much are you going to enjoy it? By the time a person, he is in his 40s and approaching his 50s, is basically heading towards the grave. the time of his enjoyment, the time of his, or the prime of his life has now passed him by, you know, and during all of these prime years of his life, he's working and working and working to build a nest egg for retirement and everything. And when he gets enough money to retire, then by that time, he's too old to enjoy his life anyway. So that's basically the existence of this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, the real life is the life of the hereafter, and that is what everybody's focus should be on. So, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ مُسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. That is because they give priority to the worldly life over the hereafter. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not guide the disbelieving people. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَسَمَعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. They are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a stamp over their hearts and their hearing and their seeing. What that means is that they see everything around them. They hear the verses of the Quran being recited. They hear lectures and khutbas, and they hear people on YouTube giving advice, but it doesn't penetrate into their hearts. It doesn't go into their minds. It doesn't increase their iman, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a stamp on their hearts. So why the word Allah has put a stamp on their hearts? Because the stamp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that cannot be removed. Okay? So if somebody puts a seal or a stamp, that is something that can be forged, that can be removed, that can be erased. Somebody, for example, he has a visa in his passport, he can do something and he can erase it if he wants to. Okay? There are ways around it. But the stamp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it is a permanent stamp. So once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that stamp on a person's heart, then there is no way for guidance to get in. So we ask Allah to protect us from that type of stamp from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are the ones that are غَافِلِينَ. They are غَافِل, ignorant, absent-minded. All of these meanings are in this word غَافِل. لَا جَرَمَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. So at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a declaration that those people that gave priority to the worldly life, what's going to happen to them? La jarama. La jarama is a word which means undoubtedly. There's no doubt whatsoever. Annahum, that these people, indeed they will be. So there's a lot of ta'keed, there's a lot of emphasis in these words. No doubt, undoubtedly. Annahum, indeed they will be. Fil akhirati, in the hereafter. Humul, hum, they will be. Again, al-khasirun. There is a lot of emphasis here. If the people know Arabic, they will realize all the different levels of emphasis there are. First of all, la jarama, which means undoubtedly. Annahum, this anna, it provides emphasis. Hum, again, it provides emphasis. Fil akhirati, this is taqdeem and ta'khir. Taqdeem, muqaddam, where it has been brought forward and it gives the meaning of hasr and stress. And hum, again, has been repeated. Humul khasirun, and al khasirun, ism fa'il is used, which indicates, again, more stress. So the whole ayah, it is saying that without a doubt, undoubtedly, and indeed, those people that gave priority to the worldly life, they did not believe in the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be indeed huge losers in the hereafter. So this is what we finish off with. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Inshallah, we'll continue with this lesson next week.